from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Hope you had a great weekend. Well, coming up on this Monday edition, the battle lines for the next Supreme Court justice are being drawn, and those on the left are making it all about abortion. With more and more Americans trending pro-life, is the left's focus on abortion less about public perception and more about ideology? We'll talk about it with Carrie Severino with the Judicial Crisis Network in just a moment. And speaking of abortion and the sanctity of human life, how important of an issue is life with the president's base of support when it comes to the Supreme Court? Terry Jeffrey of CNS News has that answer. Also, parents of students at Emmaus High School in Pennsylvania are locked in a battle with school officials over videos that were shared with students in April but denied to parents. Richard Mast, an attorney with Liberty Counsel who is representing the parents, will be here with the details. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And I want to thank all of those who participated in our year-end, our fiscal year-end campaign that partnered with us to make sure that Washington Watch continues on the stations all across America. And, in fact, our plans are to see it expand in the coming year. So thank you for being a part of the network, a growing network of listeners and supporters of Washington Watch. All right, this morning I was actually on Fox and Friends. I don't know if you caught it, but I was discussing the pending nomination of a Supreme Court justice to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy. Now, I was involved in a number of conversations over the weekend with those inside the White House discussing this issue and how important it is, the conservatives, obviously. It appears that the choice may have already been narrowed down to just possibly two from the president's list of 25. Now, it also appears that the left is going to make this nomination all about abortion, which could create a very interesting dynamic with a president that has been more outspoken than any other president in history on the importance of the sanctity of human life. With us now is Carrie Severino, chief counsel and policy director to the Judicial Crisis Network. Carrie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here, Tony.
Well, those on the left are getting pretty cranked up about this vacancy, and I'm a bit surprised how focused they are on the issue of abortion and Roe v. Wade.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not too surprised just because we have seen how the Democrats have now just a complete playbook of a list of issues they're going to try to scaremonger on because they think it's going to drive out their base and it's going to scare both Democrats into towing their line and hopefully trying to pressure moderate Republicans as well. We've been hearing in particular about talking about, well, this is the vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. Honestly, since even before Justice Kennedy was confirmed to the court, Justice O'Connor, they said that. Justice Kennedy, really the fact of the matter is after this next nomination, Chief Justice Roberts will be the swing vote on the court. And I think it's anyone's guess what he would do when faced with that question. A much broader issue is, what is this person's judicial philosophy going to be? Well, we can't predict exactly how they're going to vote on any one case, and the president cannot and really is not going to ask them about how he voted in this case, how he voted in this kind of case. What we are looking at is a nominee out of the list that he's considering right now. These are people who look at the laws on their face and apply them as written. They look at the Constitution. They look at how that was originally understood. They're not trying to make it up as they go. They're not trying to bring their own politics into it. And that is the kind of justice I think any of us should be able to get behind. So, for all of the scaremongering, I think really that's just their attempt to pressure different people into voting against a nominee who, by all accounts, I think is going to be much like Justice Gorsuch, who's someone who is across the board fair, even-handed, and is going to be someone that, aside from the partisan screaming, really people across the both sides of the aisle ought to be able to get wholeheartedly behind.
I mean, Carrie, as you take a deeper dive on any of these 25 names, judges, potential justices that are on this list, all of them pretty much fall in line with the description of being a constitutionalist, an originalist. They look at the Constitution. They don't make it up as they go, as you described. But given the left's preoccupation with abortion, which again, I know that's an issue, but there's bigger issues that we've seen just in the last couple of weeks when we see it, the First Amendment issues, the issues mm-hmm. of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, which I think are going to be even a bigger issue in the coming, this next term of the Congress, because there are issues in the pipeline related to the First Amendment. But given the fact that they want to focus on this issue, I'm just wondering if this isn't in some ways even taunting the president to where he would put forth somebody who doesn't even have, like Gorsuch, a pretty established record, not certain exactly where he would be on some issues because he hadn't ruled on them. And I'm just wondering if the president sometimes just goes straight into the opposition, that if he doesn't pick somebody off this list who is really known on the issue of abortion, just to say, hey, I'm going to fight you on this. If you want to fight, I'm going to fight.
You know, I wouldn't put it past the president. He certainly is not cowed by their threats and their hair on fire rhetoric we're getting. But I really thought that what you said a minute ago about we don't know what the X issue is going to be. I think that's so important because, again, maybe, you know, when we're looking at the nominee, you know, 10 years ago, would we have known that religious freedom was going to be the significant national issue that it is today, that there were going to be this many attacks on it, and we would need a justice who understood how the importance from a First Amendment perspective? No. So if you're looking at it as here's this laundry list of litmus tests I want to do, you're not necessarily going to be able to predict the next question down the line. Whereas if you have someone mm-hmm. who has a judicial philosophy where they are going to be adhering to the Constitution as it was written, then we can rest assured that whatever aspect right. of our constitutional rights is attacked next, and we don't know where the next attack is going to be, that they will be able to stand firm. And that is the most important thing at the end of the day.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Carrie Severino, my guest, she's chief counsel and policy director for the Judicial Crisis Network. We're talking about the pending decision, announcement by the president of his replacement, his nominee to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy. When you look at the left getting kind of all worked up on this, how big of a battle is this going to be in the United States Senate, in your opinion, Carrie?
I think this is going to be a huge controversy. You don't even need to know who the nominee is to already see. And as you said, they're already going at it on the abortion issue. There's so many issues. They're just lining up they're already saying this person, whoever he or she is, we don't even know their name, but they're going to be anti-labor. They're going to be anti-affordable health care. They're going to be anti-voting rights. I mean, I'm trying to imagine the cases they think are coming before the court that would say we don't have, you know, equal voting rights anymore, because that's right in the Constitution, right? But they're making all of these threats, and then they're going to, whoever it is, they're going to just shoehorn their record into it. It's really become an established go-to playbook for the Democrats now. So it's unfortunate, but I think we're going to see character assassination. We're going to see distortions of people's records. We're going to see maybe even outright lies about them or about their history. Mm-hmm. It's discouraging, but I think that's, unfortunately, we just are in such an uncivil time politically right now. So, we need to be remembering whoever this nominee is, and support them all we can, because I know they're going to experience a lot of unfairness.
That's an extremely important point, Carrie. When you talk about the character assassinations, I think back to Robert Bork, and how that even became, kind of a phrase that when you had been attacked like Bork had been, he said kind of that hearing kind of set the standard. But we're in a different time where I think people are not as willing to take that. And I think the left could overreach if they start that type of attack, like we're already actually seeing on some of these, like Amy Barrett, a mother of seven who is being attacked and was attacked in her confirmation hearing, last year for, being too religious. You know, the dogma lives within you, as Feinstein said. So, do you think that we're in a different time to where there may be more pushback against those attacks on these candidates by the president?
I hope that we're reaching a point where people are going to say, look, that's too far. And I think we did a little bit during the Barrett hearings. And when Senator Feinstein launched her, what I think is probably an unconstitutional religious test for office, she was presuming that if you have a strongly held religious opinion that somehow you are unqualified to sit on the federal bench, that's crazy and that's unconstitutional. So but what it was encouraging that I did see even groups on the left pushing back and that saying, okay, that maybe that was a step too far. you start to drink the Kool-Aid, Senator Feinstein. So I'm hoping that maybe that there will be blowback for if there are people who go that far. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to stop them from doing it. I think you're going to see people who are going to the extreme. I mean, look even what we've seen from Maxine Waters advocating hounding and harassment of the cabinet members and members of the administration recently. I think if I were the nominee, I would definitely lay low. And you can't go to Red Hen and get served. And I think unfortunately, there are a lot of people who, before we have the correction, the societal correction, there are a lot of people out there who are so incensed that they're starting to do some things that really go against our national values of being able to have civil debate, so
no matter what happens, the feathers will fly in this debate. Barrett, I want to go back to Amy Barrett for just a moment, because you are absolutely right. There was strong pushback. She was a professor at Notre Dame, mother of seven, Orthodox in her Catholic faith. And she was attacked for that. And there was a lot of blowback on that. I'm wondering if, and I know she's on the short list. You know, she's somewhat been inoculated by this. And maybe they would be less likely to attack her again, given the pushback they got last time, if the president were to put her forward.
I would hope so, although I do think that there is something especially about an articulate, accomplished conservative woman that really just gets under the skin, especially, particularly of the women senators, maybe who get this. And we saw this after the last election, the idea that women are supposed to vote along their lines and should not be allowed to have a different opinion. So I think that was part of the reason they just got so particularly upset. So I feel like maybe they will have learned that, okay, that religious attack was too much, even for the palate of a lot of the Democrats, and certainly for the large center of the country would have said we don't want to go there. But
so
I do
they'll
think
just attack her for being a mom of seven.
Right. Well, and two of those kids adopted from Haiti. One of them was special needs. I mean, she really is an inspiring personal story, as well, at the same time being a multiple times receiving teaching awards at Notre Dame. She's just a beloved professor. But I think people like her do get that. They put the lie to the idea that all women must abide by this liberal feminist orthodoxy. So that's going to make them angry. And I think they'll still fight pretty hard.
Yeah, they can't stand that, the fact that not everybody is like them. Carrie Severino, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate the work that you do on all of the judicial-level picks.
Likewise, thanks.
All right, Carrie Severino with the Judicial Crisis Network. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, coming up, we're going to continue our conversation. The life issue, how important of an issue is it? Well, we're going to look at some of the polling numbers, and we're going to talk about how important of an issue it is with the president's base. Might this turbocharge his support? We're going to talk about that with Terry Jeffrey of CNS News next. Don't go away.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide. Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. I mentioned earlier, I was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about the Supreme Court vacancy and the issues surrounding it, and you can actually, you want to see that clip, and go to tonyperkins.com. Now, the president is expected, he has said that he is going to name his Supreme Court nominee next Monday, a week from today. I'm told that the decision will be made sometime in the next couple of days, most likely. The question is, what is the importance of the life issue to the president's base? Now, we're going to talk about that, but I want you to hear this clip. Now, this clip, I was in the audience when this took place. It was in Las Vegas. It was the final presidential debate between the president and Hillary Clinton. And I think this is where really he locked in the pro-life vote. Listen to what he said.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth
abortion. Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Joining us now is Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the president, you know, in ways I never anticipated, because of his plain-spoken way about him, really has connected with pro-life voters in this country.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Tony, by the way, that moment in the debate was a telling moment for Donald Trump and really helped move people solidly into his direction. I think it's since Roe v. Wade, it has been absolutely essential for the Republican Party to nominate pro-life people, candidates who aren't pro-life, will not get the nomination. A Republican candidate who is not pro-life has no chance of getting elected. A key swing vote in this country is, in fact, a pro-life vote that Republicans need to get. I think that Trump got that vote in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Iowa. So there's absolutely no doubt that that was part of why Donald Trump was elected president. And I also think that since he's been president, the fact that he's remained true to that right. commitment in the actions he's taken as president has been vitally important.
And you kind of make reference to the Republican Party and the candidates. And in fact, we a story out last week where the last really of the pro-choice Republicans, Charlie Dent and Friesenheisen are retiring. And so essentially the party, you can't hold a position unless you at least give lip service to the life issue. But this president has given more than lip service. As you said, he's followed through with his promises. We're seeing the trends in the polling. A Gallup poll just released in May, 68% said abortion should be always illegal or legal under certain circumstances. America is trending in this direction. How important of a debate is this going to be now that the left has drawn the line on abortion over this next Supreme Court justice?
Tony, I think it's hugely important. And, you know, I was just looking at that Gallup poll, and I came across a piece I'd written a few years ago that I forgot about, quite frankly. But that the piece I wrote back in 2015 said that Gallup had just released its 37th straight poll, going back to 1994 when they started polling on this question, where a majority of Americans said that abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. So this latest Gallup poll is actually the 40th straight poll by Gallup where a majority of Americans are saying abortion should be illegal in most or all cases. And when you add in Americans who think that it ought to be illegal in at least some cases, it's a massive majority. So I think that what that indicates is almost all Americans know abortion is wrong. They're ready to prohibit it in at least some cases. A majority are ready to prohibit it in almost all cases. And that if the Republican Party cannot win a debate on that issue, they're absolutely incompetent. There's absolutely no question about it. If that's the litmus test the Democrats want to raise against the Republicans, they will lose.
Now, the president has enjoyed strong support from evangelical social conservatives, the number of evangelicals, 81% voting for him. And the number has held firm. In fact, his support has actually expanded a bit. But it's conditional upon him, as you said earlier, keeping his promises, which he's had. It's very important for him to ensure that this next justice is not someone who we think is going to be right on the Constitution when it comes to life, but that they are. And so I'm wondering now that the left has made this such an issue, if he is, he shouldn't just kind of roll out the candidate who is perceived to be and has the record to suggest in support that they clearly understand the constitutional right to life.
You know, I wish he would. And I know he's promised to pick a nominee from the list that was put together by conservatives. And I can't say that I've looked exhaustively through that list and through the records of those folks. So when he nominates someone, I will do that. But I will say this, Tony, that if you go back and you look at Republican Supreme Court nominees, starting with Bob Bork, there's been an unfortunate trend. You know, Bob Bork, everybody knew where Bob Bork stood. In fact, I think Bob Bork got more conservative after he was rejected from the court.
Yes.
But it was very clear when he was nominated by Reagan, though, that he did not believe in the quote-unquote right to privacy as defined in Roe v. Wade. And he was very candid about his views, and the Democrats decided they were going to take him down. Of course, they controlled the Senate then, and he lost 42-58. After that, we started getting nominees like Anthony Kennedy. I think if you really look through Anthony Kennedy's record, you would see some problems there. Of course, George Bush nominated David Souter, who had outrageous problems. And then when Bill Clinton nominated Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Republicans voted 98-0. They backed her up. But I believe of the nominees since Bork, the one who's had the clearest record as a judge, as a conservative, was Sam Alito.
Yep.
Even Clarence Thomas, who I believe is the greatest originalist on the Supreme Court, and I think he and Alito are the two best justices on the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas did not have that record when he was nominated. He has been an outstanding justice, but you didn't absolutely know for sure when he was nominated that he was going to be great.
But you knew his judicial philosophy, which did play out. Terry, we're out of time. As always, great to have you on the show. Folks, don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide. Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I am your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the East Penn School Board got an earful at its recent meeting regarding a series of short LGBT, pro-LGBT, so-called anti-bullying videos. Now, this is how they, kind of get in under the radar with this stuff. It was shown during the high school's morning announcements, I think in April or May. Now, parents said, okay, we want to see. We heard about this. We want to see them. And the school has refused to allow the parents to see these videos. And, of course, the parents have a right. It's called parental rights to review the student-produced projects before their children could see them. Well, the school said no. Well, with us now is Richard Mast. He's an attorney with Liberty Counsel who was asked by parents to try to help him out. Richard, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
Now, I know Liberty Counsel has sent a letter to the school requesting that the parents be able to see these and raising issues about the school's actions denying parents rights, denying the parent the rights to see this material. So give us the status. What's happening?
Well, you're exactly right. We've sent a letter. We've demanded the links to these videos. You know, they provided descriptions of the videos, but as the World Wide Web has a lot of content, we can't be 100% certain that the videos that we find on our own are the ones that were shown to the kids. So we're asking a very reasonable request that they provide the links that they pulled off of YouTube or that they say that students pulled off of YouTube and forwarded to their school's media department and then which the school broadcast to every one of the students that was in a homeroom with a TV, closed-circuit TV system.
So what's the school's rationale for not just saying, okay, yeah, this is what was shown to the students. Here's the link. I mean, what are they saying is their justification for not providing that to you?
Well, they're simply stonewalling. I mean, this has been going on since the end of April, where when parents found out about it from their children, said, we felt bullied by these videos, that they were markedly demonstrated a bias in favor of homosexuality and gender confusion. And so they brought these to their attention. They requested them. The principal returned with an answer that she said came from the school's attorney, which said because they were selected by students that they couldn't show them, that this was akin to a student's class assignment or project, and that's simply not the case. When their own policy says that material sent in their media or pursuant to their technology resources have no expectation of privacy, and where this is something that's intended for mass public consumption, the fact that a few students have gone click-click on YouTube and then forwarded an email with those links to the school's media department doesn't give them any kind of privacy interest that overrides parental rights.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, it's just gobbledygook. I mean, the fact that they say, well, there's an expectation of privacy, but they showed them to every student in the school over in their homeroom class. So obviously there's no expectation of privacy other than if you're trying to hide it from parents and those outside the walls of the school so that you can more easily indoctrinate the students. Might that be what's behind this?
I think that's that hits the nail on the head. I mean, this is similar to if a student group or a student club had prepared written flyers and was permitted to distribute them to the entire student body, and then the school says, kids, you can't take these flyers home to your parents, and you can't take them outside the four walls. They were prepared by students. That doesn't pass the straight face test, and this doesn't either.
Now, our producers talked to a few of the parents up there that have reached out to you and Liberty Counsel to seek help on this, and they're actually a little afraid to go public on their concerns for fear of retribution from the LGBTQ advocates there. And is this become kind of a flashpoint there among parents in the community?
It has, and it's as we see with the playbook, they always blame the other side and accuse them of being intolerant and hateful, when you and I both know that it's not hateful for parents to direct the upbringing of their children and to
right.
teach them about morality. And this this school district is intent on ignoring all of the health risks associated with same-sex sexual activity. They're promoting what is a controversial issue as if it's done, settled, and finalized, and no reasonable person can disagree, when that's just not the case. And so the parents have been subjected to, ad hominem attacks. You know, one student has claimed anti-LGBT slurs that were hurled at him during the meeting. The usual stuff where you
right.
try to discredit the messenger rather than defend the indefensible here.
Richard, we're up against the break here for this segment, but what's next? Do you anticipate the school board complying and giving, or the school giving this information to the parents?
We do. It's simply an unreasonable position to say that YouTube links cannot be shared with parents, and we will hold them accountable.
And the law's on your side, so they don't have a lot of ground to stand on. Richard Mass, as always, great to have someone from Liberty Counsel. I appreciate you coming on. You guys do great work, and we appreciate you defending parents and the freedom of speech, freedom of religion across America.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Richard Mass with Liberty Counsel. And, this is one of those things, folks, where, there's some parents, and I know they're intimidated, afraid to stand up, but they reached out to Liberty Counsel. There's others, First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom. The law's on our side. Stand up for the rights of your children and your rights as parents. Don't shrink back in the face of loud, obnoxious opposition. All right, when we come back, we're taking your phone calls. Don't go away. More Washington Watch after this.
Should state law require pregnancy resource centers to provide free advertising for the abortion industry? Congressman Andy Harris has spent his life serving his neighbors, country, and community, and has become one of the foremost advocates in Congress who has stood with these pregnancy resource centers as the Supreme Court determines whether the state can force individuals or private entities to act in contradiction to their beliefs. In 2017, the U.S. witnessed its lowest abortion rate since 1975, proving that these pro-life pregnancy centers have had a positive impact despite radical pro-abortion activists trying to violate First Amendment rights. Don't miss Representative Harris's discussion of the ongoing fight to protect the sanctity of life, as well as the First Amendment rights of those standing for the pro-life cause. Visit frc.org/lectures to view this important event.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. All right, we're going to take some phone calls here. We've been talking, really just about two issues. One about the court and the importance of this pick, and the left making it all about abortion. I think that's obviously huge. I think it's about more than that. I think it's about religious freedom, which we saw in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the last court decisions handed down were 5-4 decisions on the First Amendment, showing how narrow of a margin of protection we have for such a fundamental freedom as the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But the left wants to make this about life. I'm not sure what's driving them, because it's not public opinion that's on their side. I think it's just they're locked into an ideological battle. Now, I hope the president takes him head on. And I said that this morning on Fox. He does not abide by the conventional political wisdom that says, well, let's try to sneak this by or let's try to outflank him. I think he just heads right into it. And I think, quite frankly, I think that might be the best thing. I think the American people, pro-lifers who supported him, by the way, looking at some additional polling. Hey, let me give out the phone number here so you can start calling in. 866-372-7234. We're talking about the Supreme Court. Also, we mentioned these videos that were shown in a school up in Pennsylvania. They could be happening in your school. Of course, school's out right now, but it could have happened in your school district, and it could happen next year. You cannot turn turn away from the schools for a moment and not be watching them. You've got to watch them like a hawk. That's why we need more parents running for school boards. We need more Christians in the schools, blowing the whistle when they do this kind of stuff. Anyway, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. In a poll, which we actually commissioned with WPA Intelligence Research, this was back prior to the last election, the 16 election. But we were trying to gauge, because you were going into that, remember that there was a vacancy on the Supreme Court. We were trying to gauge how important of an issue. We knew it was going to be an issue, but wanted to see how important of an issue it was with evangelicals, social conservatives. And 7 in 10 churchgoers said the Supreme Court is important to their vote because it affects their daily lives. They recognize that. 7 in 10, that's 70%. Now, in exit polling, after the election, the 59%, almost 60% of those who voted for the Trump-Pence ticket said they did so based upon the GOP platform's stance on life and religious liberty, the platform. Now, you'll recall that then-candidate Trump really wrapped himself in the platform and since then has actually governed by the platform. And as I mentioned earlier in the program today, his support has not only remained steady among social conservatives, but has actually expanded. So how significant of an issue will this be? I think it'll be a very big issue. And I think the president will, if he takes this head on, which would be my counsel, I think what he does is he, as I've said earlier, he turbocharges his support, which spills over into the midterm election. That's why I'm not sure why the left wants to pick this fight, because I don't think it's one that they can win unless, you know, somebody on our side goes wobbly. And quite frankly, I don't see Donald Trump going wobbly at all. I mean, that's just not his nature. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska, where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Well, good. Hey, Tony, really appreciate what you and Washington Watch are doing as far as being on top of some of these issues with the transgender ideology, GLBT agenda and everything in the school, because I think it's been so destructive. So thanks for being on top of that and encouraging officials and others to, you know, just protect people's constitutional protection. So I think that's really important.
Well, thanks, Lance. I appreciate that. This issue, and it is what is revealing, I should say, about this issue, Lance, is just as we were talking with Richard at Liberty Counsel, is that they don't want to share this information with the parents. They don't want people to know what is happening in the classroom. Is because they're indoctrinating the children. All right? If they want to have a debate, a discussion over this issue, then have a discussion or a debate over this issue. There was something very similar in Minnesota. This has been, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago, where guess who got involved? Southern Poverty Law Center has their own curriculum of anti-bullying, much like GLSEN, which was the group that was pushing these videos, pro-homosexual. And they had brought this into the school district in Minnesota. Well, the parents organized against it. And so the Southern Poverty Law Center labeled the parents group a hate group in order to marginalize them and silence them. And then they teamed up, this was during the Obama regime, they teamed up with the Obama Justice Department to force the school into a consent decree to teach this pro-homosexual anti-bullying material. Here's one of the ways, and actually we had Activist Mommy on talking about this a while back. Most people don't realize that your kids are really dollar signs to many schools. Now, not to teachers. And we got some really good teachers, okay? So teachers, don't get offended when I say this. But to the school system, they are dollar signs because the dollars follow the students. If their enrollment drops, in almost every case, the amount of money going to the school declines. So I think that one of the ways you get the attention of the schools is that when kids start leaving. And let me remind you, and if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you've heard me say this, and if you continue to listen, which I hope you will, you will hear me say it many more times. As Christians, God has given us as parents the responsibility and the authority to raise and to teach our children. Now, we can delegate the authority, and we do. Some do by putting them into the public schools, the private school. You're delegating the authority, but you can never delegate the responsibility. It will always be your responsibility. You will be held accountable for what your children have taught. And I had a recent experience, and I'm not going to go into details because it's a close friend. But I just saw, you know, two families, very similar, raised in Christian homes, biblically taught. The only difference is the kids in one family went to these public schools for the arts. And they have gone a completely different direction than their parents. And the public schools are at war. Again, I'm making a general statement. I know not every school in America is this way, but generally speaking, the agenda being driven in the public schools is at war with the mission and vision of most Christian parents in America. And you just need to know that. And you need to take authority over it and responsibility for it. All right, let's go to Dwight in where's that at? Ashland, North Dakota. Dwight, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you. I had a question for you, kind of a two-part question about the fight that's going to be happening about the Supreme Court. I have not heard very much said about the one or possibly two Republican senators that could theoretically break ranks and tip the balance in favor of the Democrats on the life issue when arguing over this nominee. But I've also heard that, you know, the Republican or the Democrat senators in solid red states might feel a little bit vulnerable. But I mean, I don't know about other senators, but here in North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp, the last time there was a pro-life or, you know, pro-choice vote, and she sided with her party, and she was called out for it by her pro-life constituency. Her response to that on her Facebook page was, "So how about that softball game last night?"
Mm-hmm.
So, how vulnerable to pressure do you think that the two GOP senators would be?
Well, Collins and Murkowski are the two, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. They're a problem, and that's one of the reasons the president needs the base completely running at full speed on this. But you're also right, Dwight, in that there is the possibility, and you mentioned North Dakota, where you are from. The president, the day that the retirement was announced, was there in North Dakota for a rally and essentially challenging Heidi on the issue of the court. You know, she's vulnerable. She could be replaced. Now, will someone like that double down to try to energize her base, or will she see the handwriting on the wall? Same thing in West Virginia. I think the same thing in Missouri. So I do think, Dwight, that there's the possibility of some of the Democratic senators crossing over. Now, they're so ideologically locked in on abortion. Will their party give them that ability? I think it's questionable, but it's possible. So this is why it's not a done deal. I mean, you have McCain is not going to be there. He is in serious health condition with his cancer, and he's just not going to be there. So you're down one vote. 50-49 is the makeup. So it's going to be very, very close, Dwight. Very close. Every voice in America needs to weigh in. on this, regardless of whether or not you have a Republican or a Democrat senator. Dwight, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Topeka, Kansas, where AJ is listening. AJ, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Mr. Tony. Hey, I just had a comment. As a Christian and an African-American, I think that the African-American church needs to know that we vote for a platform, not necessarily the person, individuals. Like, I know so many African-Americans voted for Obama, but most of his politics was against Christian moral beliefs. So we need to understand the platform of the Republican Party was for moral values, you know. So that's not emphasized enough. That is, we might not have the face that we wanted, but if that person stands on the platform that the party states that we know is biblical principle, that's how we learn to vote.
AJ, I could not have said it better myself. You are absolutely correct. And in fact, I'll have to dig it out and dust it off, but we actually have a short, I think it's like a two and a half minute video that does exactly what you just said. It goes into the party platform on those values issues, and it compares the two parties and where they stand on life, on religious liberty, on marriage, all of that. So that, you're right, I don't think we should be voting, you know, just because someone has, because they are a particular party affiliation.
Right.
But let's look and see what that party stands for. And here's something, AJ, that I found out in doing some research prior to the last election, as I actually helped write a large portion of the Republican Party platform, is that I think it's 87%, somewhere around the 85-87% of the time, the Republicans actually adhered to their party platform. And it's about three quarters of the time, 74%, I believe, I'm taking this off the top of my head, that the Democratic Party adheres to its platform. So, AJ, you're absolutely right. These party platforms matter because it actually governs what the party does.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Tony. Thank you for giving us a voice to speak to. And God bless
all
you
right.
and your family.
Thank you, AJ. I appreciate that. AJ brings up an excellent point. And you can take this, by the way, into the church. Okay, this is nonpartisan. Yeah, it talks about the parties, but it's not about a candidate. So we actually created this video, and it's still relevant. I mean, it will be for the next 2 years until the parties create a new platform. But it does a side-by-side comparison. And it essentially says that the, you know, the R by someone's name and the D by someone's name actually does make a difference. They vote according to those party platforms. And so we as voters should vote according to the party platform. Remember what I said earlier? This president wrapped himself in the campaign. He wrapped himself in the conservative party platform, most conservative platform the party has ever put forward. And when it was all said and done and the dust settled, the people, 59%, almost 60% of those who voted for Pence and Trump said they did so based upon the party platform of life and religious freedom. That's significant. And he's been governing by those principles stated in that party platform. So AJ's absolutely right. Hey, by the way, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. I've got the video up there of my appearance today on Fox and Friends. And let me encourage you, it's not too early to begin weighing in on this to support the president in his pick, but be praying. Be praying that the president would make the right pick. In many ways, I think this is an opportunity really to turn from this abortion on demand back to being a predominantly pro-life nation. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6 when he says, you've done everything you can do. When you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.